Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, and I'm being joined tonight by Matt Hankins from Team All You Can Eat. Unfortunately, Danny Only is exhausted from his weekend road trip to Chicago and Massachusetts and back to Atlanta to wrestle for Resistance Pro and Beyond Wrestling, so he will likely not be joining us tonight, so we'll have to get his road trip story next week, I guess. But there's still a lot to talk about. One thing we've kind of gotten away from over the past few weeks, Matt, is recapping the previous weekend shows. So I guess we can start with that. Well, first of all, I'll mention our guest tonight. Our first guest will be the Washington Bullets. They are two-time Platinum Championship Wrestling Tag Team Season Champions. I believe they're the current Peach State Wrestling Alliance Tag Team Champions, and they were the Georgia Wrestling History Tag Team of the Year for 2011. So they've got a lot of accolades and a lot of big matches coming up. Then after that, we've got a pretty big guest. We've got Scott Steiner, who, of course, has quite a history here in Georgia with the National Wrestling Alliance and World Championship Wrestling with his brother Rick Steiner. He was many-time tag team champion. And he wrestled at Universal Championship Wrestling Show last Saturday at Sprayberry High School, and he'll be on the card this Friday for their show at the North Atlanta Trade Center. So I'm sure he will have plenty to talk about. But, Matt, which shows did you go to? I know you were at Empire. I'm not even sure what to call it these days because it's kind of split.
No.
The Empire Wrestling banner is still hanging, though, so I guess it is still Empire Wrestling.
Yeah, I was in my normal spot, front row at Empire. It was the first night in a little while that all of Team All You Can Eat was in attendance. And as is always the case with that show, it did not disappoint. I think two big highlights from that show were two matches that we hadn't seen before there. Opened up with Fred Yeha, who we all know I have a personal affection for, versus a returning Curry Kid. And they turned in a solid, solid effort, you know. Curry, for all his antics and let's call it showmanship and sometimes cowardice, what gets lost in that sometimes is how good of a wrestler he really is. You know, Curry Kid is solid. And Fred, we say enough about him, I don't guess I need to get into that, but they turned in an absolute clinic. You know, for guys that haven't really crossed paths a lot, you know, they kind of hauled each other out and figured out each other's style, and Fred got the best of him. But it was just an absolute classic. You know, you were there with me, so what did you think about that?
Yeah, well, I agree with you, and I mean, I can't disagree with you about Fred Yeha either. The previous week, when he and Simon Sermon faced off, and that was two very different styles clashing, and it was an incredible match. Surprisingly so, I think a lot of people would say, not to disrespect either one of them, obviously, but it just wouldn't imagine the two of them putting on the match that they did. And I guess the same goes for Curry Kid. But some people that have been surprising me a lot lately have been in Empire / PCW have been Nogicism and De La Vega. They've put on some great matches. I mean, they had a match against each other a few weeks ago, and then there was that four-way match, and then last week was Nogicism and forgetting who he faced now.
I'm drawing a plate too, but it was shucks. I know it was a stellar performance, and I cannot remember who it was either.
Oh, it was Devlin, wasn't it Devlin Valak?
Yes, that's right. I wouldn't have remembered his name either. I would have just called him the devil.
Yeah, well, that's another guy that I've never seen him before, never heard his name before, and he's emerged in PCW in the past couple of months and been pretty impressive, I would say. But
that is one thing we can say. Under the Empire banner, we have seen some new guys show up, you know, that that we didn't see as much of previously, and they've not disappointed. He really turned in a strong effort, but Najee is, you know, again, you get lost in some of Najee's antics, some of his flamboyance. You know, he's really over the top. He's got his music thing. He's got his wrestling thing, and you kind of get lost in that is how good of a just a basic hold down the fort wrestler he can be, and he's on that. He's after Mason, which if he's going to call Mason out, he better be on top of his game. And it appears that that's the case. As you mentioned, that four-way, we didn't get a chance to talk about it a couple weeks ago, but that four-way was amazing. And, you know, with as many high flyers as in that match and clashes of styles and guys, like I said, who hadn't been in the ring with each other much, they really turned in a great performance. And somebody else who was in that match was Supernatural. And I thought the match that Supernatural and Matt Sales had was the best I've seen from either of those two in the Empire PCW ring. The finish of that match with Supernatural grabbing the I-beam and sort of hand-walking across it to drop that double stomp on Sales was something to behold.
Yeah,
I don't know that we've seen the last of that match either. It looks like we might have seen the beginning of something with those two.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. And who knows, the tag team season is also coming up in PCW or Empire, so perhaps the two of them could turn their rivalry into an alliance of some sort. Wouldn't be the first time that's happened.
It would not be, especially not there. We've seen a reformed avant-garde who looked really good. They've sort of worked out their differences a little bit more, and you saw De La Vega take a big shot to save Vandal, and they were able to capitalize and get a win. So that's good rolling into the season, getting their heads together. You know, maybe Vega wants to do a little bit more of what Vandal does. To, you know, Vandal's an any means necessary type of guy. You know, he's going to get the win any way he can. Now, De La Vega wants to play by the rules a little bit more, but, you know, this tag team season is, all the tag team seasons have been great, but this one is so stacked that if you see an advantage, you have to take advantage of it. You know, no matter what the opportunity is, you've got to be ready to get in that spot. And I think that's what Vandal's trying to get out of De La Vega. You know, De La Vega's been having a lot of fun with the Surrealist. You know, he's been here and there. He's had some good matches, starting to really build some steam. So I think that may be my dark horse candidate right there to win this thing. They're fast. They can move. They can go in there with anybody. So somebody to watch. And
yeah, definitely.
And classic style, you know, the main event turns into a full-out brawl. We even saw the announcers get in the action. Speaking of announcers, we had the return of Stephen Platinum to the announcing booths, which sort of bittersweet. He is rough on us in Team All You Can Eat, but he is also the man who christened Team All You Can Eat. So it did feel good to hear a Jumping Jesus on the pogo stick one more time.
Yeah. Well, before we get to the Washington Bullets, Saturday, I know you went to Peach State Wrestling Alliance, where they're the tag team champions, and they had an odd-sounding tournament of sorts. But I went to the Universal Championship Wrestling Show up at Sprayberry High School, which was probably about as different from PCW as you can get. And that's not to disrespect either one of them. It's just a very different approach to wrestling, and it was at Sprayberry High School, which I believe is where Buff Bagwell went to high school, and the main event was reuniting Buff Bagwell with Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner, and they took on Luke Gallows and Brody Ray Chase, who had Johnny Fairplay in their corner, who also managed Hot Like Lava in the first match against Robert Gibson, and I believe the other guy's name is Scotty Matthews. So Johnny Fairplay, I think he's done some work with Ring of Honor. Of course, he was on reality TV before that. But he's now a managerial presence in UCW, and I guess he's going to remain that way for the foreseeable future. It looks like they're bringing in a lot of – their approach is to bring in a lot of big, recognizable names. And it seems to be working for them. They've got a big crowd. They had a big crowd, I should say, at that show. And they had Chris Hamrick, former ECW personality, who was surprisingly very goofy in the ring. But, I mean, top to bottom, it was actually a really good show. and they're we'll talk more about them later. But and we'll get back to this weekend's events later in the show, but right now we're being joined by John and Trey Williams, the Washington Bullets. How are you guys doing?
Hello. Yeah, what's up? I'm doing good.
Glad to hear it. So,
hear
I guess... What's that?
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear both bullets?
We can hear you, yeah.
Okay. No, I mean, I'm on my own phone.
Yes.
Can you hear me, Johnny? Trey, where are you
okay,
at?
Awesome.
We have you both on the line, if that's what you're trying to ask.
There we go.
So, Matt, why don't you, or all three of you guys, tell me about this thing that happened on Saturday in Peach State Wrestling Alliance. I wasn't able to make it to that show.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a throwback to the old days. We saw a Lethal Lottery. It's the first one I've seen in years, which you have, and that led to a Battle Bowl, which you end up with 8 different tag teams drawn at random. So you never know what kind of chemistry you're going to get. You saw guys that the crowds loved working with guys that the crowds hated. So all sorts of mix-up, and no tag teams got to stay together, which I thought maybe the Bullets might connive their way into drawing the same team, but it was not to be so. As a matter of fact, Trey gets looped in with a man who he's in a bitter feud with in Tommy Too Much. And so you had Bullets and Exotic ones working on the same team. Trey, what'd you think about that?
Well, you know, at first I was a little bad head because it's just like we don't really too much like them. They've been saying we cheated them for like 5 months now, but we are Peach State Wrestling Alliance champions. Like. So, you know, it was a good match. And as I do, I took my opportunity to kick Tommy in his mouth and take the pin after he did all the hard work, sucker.
Well, you guys, obviously, you got your start in wrestling in Platinum Championship Wrestling, and you were the first tag team season champions there at Sacred Ground, and then won that same title again last year at Sacred Ground 2. How does wrestling...
Before we answer that question, really quick, I want to say that Trey had the benefit of tagging with another tag team wrestler and a wrestler that we've been wrestling for months. So he had a much better time. Even though he hated the guy, he still knew him like the back of his hand. So Trey knew the exact spot to come in after he knew that Tommy finished the job. With me, I was with some dude, I don't even honestly remember his name. And so
Aaron,
I come up on the wing.
Your partner.
Who was it?
I think his name is Ares, God of War, apparently. So.
Oh, okay.
I was not familiar with him either.
I'm saying the dude was the worst guy in the world, but what I am saying is that I had no clue what I was walking into with that. So.
And you had to wrestle a clown, so. That's always a problem when there's a clown in the ring.
Right? You don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, John got hung out to dry pretty well.
Who were each of your opponents in this Lethal Lottery?
Okay, I had one of my opponents was Doink the Clown, and the other one was
the Doink the Clown,
Johnny Rage.
Doink the Clown number 2. He'd be the second.
This is the second generation Doink the Clown. This is the new school Doink the Clown for 2012. So I didn't know what tricks he had up his sleeve.
And it was me and Tommy Too Much from the Exotic Ones versus the Josh Storm and a guy, Josh Storm, I think, brought with him. I forget. I'm sorry. I'm not aware of his name.
It was, let me go to my trusty notebook. It was Stan Somerville, I believe was his name.
Oh, okay. I saw both of them. Both of them wrestled yesterday at the Exciting Wrestling Federation at WWA4. But anyway, we'll get to that later.
Yeah,
John also had to take on Johnny Rage, I believe. Johnny Rage from Savannah, who was John's other opponent.
Okay.
I like Johnny Rage.
I was going to say, I like Johnny Rage. I've seen him at a lot of other Peach State shows. I like that dude. We had to be on the opposite side of the ring. He really didn't even participate in the match. He just kind of screwed Doink over and then ended up winning anyway because Doink got a, you know, squeaked out a win there. So, what can you do?
Well, what is the point of that lottery? What is it, a tournament and then the winners get some kind of title shot, or what is that? What happens?
Exactly.
That?
Every team that wins is automatically put into the Battle Bowl, like Battle Royal. And it's actually a pretty cool concept because it's two rings, and you have to eliminate somebody twice. Like, you have to throw them into the second ring and then throw them out again. And I'm not going to lie, I was kind of mad about losing. So when I saw Tommy Too Much not only eliminate Trey, but when he himself got eliminated, I was like, man, I got to jump on this. So we kind of put the boots to him, you know.
Took advantage, put some boots to him.
So neither of you will be in the Battle Bowl then?
They had the Battle Bowl that night.
That night.
Oh,
Trey
okay.
was in. John, unfortunately, was not.
He won the Battle Bowl. He's now the new champion.
Okay. Well,
yeah, the
question I was asking earlier was you both got your start, obviously, in PCW, and I think Peach State was one of the first places that you branched out in, and it didn't take you long to become champions there. And now, of course, you've also worked Rampage and some other shows throughout the state. How would you say Peach State compares to PCW and how all the different federations that you work for compare to each other?
Yeah. Well, Peach State is in Carrollton, Georgia, and, you know, I love going there. I love working in front of that crowd, and I love them hating us for ignorant reasons I don't want to get into. those guys, the people, like, it's a completely different audience because I would like to think that PCW has more of a sort of, like, young, hip, like, ECW kind of crowd or, like, a Ring of Honor kind of crowd where it's, you know, they're more into watching, you know, like guys, you know, going doing these crazy athletic matches and clapping and chanting and stuff. While Peach State is also something great because Peach State has this, it's like a time capsule where you get to sort of feel what people felt back in like the 70s and stuff with old school wrestling, people booing the heels and cheering the good guys, and you know, you kind of get a different feeling. And you know, there's so many people that they draw every month, and that's why I think that, like, Georgia wrestling is really good. When I hate when people say that indie wrestling is going down, I'm like, wow, they drew, like, 480 people last time.
It was a packed house for sure. And they hate the Washington Bullet. Bullet 1 and Bullet 2 are absolutely despised out there.
Yeah, I noticed that when I went, I guess it was about a month ago, and surprisingly, they have mixed reactions for the exotic ones because I think they're a little confused about what's going on there. But some people are cheering for the exotic ones and some people are booing them. But it was just a interesting, not what you usually see with the exotic ones in those remote kind of locations in wrestling.
No.
Yeah,
I mean,
to kind of piggyback on that, like you said, at PCW, we get to see you guys do all the double teams and all these great, unique moves that we don't get to see from other tag teams because, you know, you're so athletic, you're brothers, you know where to be for each other. Are you able to do that in Peach State? And do you think if you were able to do that in Peach State that the crowd might come around to your side just from respecting your sheer athleticism? Or is it so ingrained out there that you're the bad guy, but there's no way that crowd can get behind you?
Nah. It ain't like I don't think it's like that. Because last time we actually wrestled the exotic one, they were kind of trying to cheer us just a little bit. But, you know, I guess at the end they realized that we ain't the best guys to be cheering on that end. But with the moves portion, like, the Bullets do what the Bullets do. Like, we do something fly regardless. So, if they like it, they'll ooh, they'll ah, but at the end of the day, I'm a heel. They just move. That's what I need you to do.
Okay, let me piggyback on that when I say this, too. they might, like, I remember one time they were starting to cheer us, and they were like, yay, and a kid was like, you guys are correct when you say that you're the best in the world. And I said, I don't like you, you ugly little kid, because 10 minutes ago, you called me porch monkey. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't come back from that. I'm sorry. There's no apologizing.
Well, I'm sure you have a much different experience at Rampage, where you made your debut, I want to say, about a month or so ago. So I know are you guys doing their show this weekend?
Yeah, we're doing their show on Sunday at Johnny G's, and we look forward to it. I mean, so far, we've been pretty successful. We've had a lot of fun over there, and we see, like, a lot of different talent that I'd love to work with and love to, you know, tag against in different facets than you'd see anywhere else that we've been working.
Who have you guys faced there so far?
First time we faced the Best Friends. And then the last time over there was Hot Like Lava. We actually got a pretty good response both times we went out there. It was a good matches.
I'm
sorry?
Who did you say the first time?
The first time was at BFS. And I think we also got a match with Rave Approved. And I look forward to wrestling those guys.
Welcome to Jimmy Rave Approved.
Huh?
This is a nice little sound bite.
Who did you say you have coming up?
Welcome to Jimmy Rave Approved.
What is going on?
I'm sorry.
Awesome.
You said Jimmy Rave Approved, though.
We wrestled the Jimmy Rave Approved guys, and I'll say this much. You know, Chip Day, he's a great wrestler, and he's like almost like the, like, when people talk about the popular kid in school that's cool to you when he's not around his friends, but when you go to Rampage, it's like Jimmy Rave is there, so he's kind of with Rave Approved, and they don't really do the most, you know, the most legal things in the ring, and they're not, you know, they have the highest moral code. But I will say that I was very impressed with Corey Hollis, and I think that one of the sleeper matches on Thursday's Masquerade Show is going to be Fred Yehi against Corey Hollis. I don't know if that's been announced yet, but if it hasn't, look out for that, because that match is going to be amazing.
It has now.
I believe it has been announced. I know my calendar was marked for it, so.
Yeah. Well, I think, didn't Corey Hollis have a match recently in Ring of Honor or something?
Yeah. He told me that when I was there last. Yeah, he said he was going to Ring of Honor.
Well, that's cool. Well, speaking of Thursday at the Masquerade, you guys are taking on a team that has been very impressive so far over the past few months in Daisho, which is Wardell Walker and Kyle Matthews. The only words they've spoken so far have been Washington Bullets. So, and last time we saw them, they won two matches in a row over some fairly well-known local talent. So what are you guys, what are your expectations for that match on Thursday?
Man, I'm excited. Every time I see Daisho, when they come to the Masquerade, their music don't even stop playing. They got little young boys talking.
Streamers and you know what I mean?
It's a nice little show. And for them to want Washington Bullets, wow, that's dope. Like, Kyle, but he's the best wrestler of all time, and Wardell, what he do? He wrestle in Mars and shit like this? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm excited. Thursday night at the Masquerade, if you're not there, honestly, you're smoking crack or something like that. Your life's in the gutter. I don't, like, there's no other way to explain it. That match
and
will...
It's free.
Who don't like free?
Thank you. Now, you are the two-time tag team season champions. Odds on favorite to do the three-peat, which we tell you every week.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know you respect your competition. I know you respect Kyle. I know you respect Wardell. But what was it like standing in the back? You've already come out and taken care of your business. Here's this team that has not been in the ring more than 5 minutes combined with two opponents that night. To hear them say your name, did that get under your skin a little bit?
To be honest with you, it was all, honestly, I got excited because here's the thing. Those guys are two wrestlers I respect tremendously. I honestly, in my opinion, think that me and Trey have been brothers for all of our lives, so we have, like, over 20 years of teamwork. So I think that we can beat them. But the funny thing about it was, like, it was like a compliment. Like, you guys want to come after us? And I feel bad for the other teams that, especially, I'm not going to say if, when we beat Daisho, we're going to put fear in the rest of the team's eyes because those guys are impressive. But you know what? Like, we are studying those guys. I think the other teams that fought them that lost so quickly didn't have the benefit to study them. They didn't have the benefit of knowing those guys and seeing what they do. But we always study our opponents. And we're always changing up our double teams. We're always keeping up with the game. We're always doing what we can to improve. So, Daisho, you got to fight ahead of you.
Matter of fact, Daisho, you really got to fight ahead of you because we have a plan. There's something behind it. When you hop in the ring, understand, you are fighting the PCW two-time tag team season champion. You ain't taking that over my body, dead body, and my brother's dead body. You hear me? Daisho, you got something coming for you. You think you're taking this season, man. That's it.
That's a big trophy. That's a tall trophy.
That's it, man.
Yep.
I liken that fight to an old school Tyson fight. You know, Mike would come in, he'd crush in the first minute and a half of the fight. But if you ever got Mike to the second round, then the tide was turned. Is that what y'all plan is? If you care to deploy that
much? Oh my gosh. You nailed it on the head because you see a lot of people come in there and they don't know what they expect. And then they get knocked out in the first round, bam, it's over. But when you put people to the distance, you don't know. Because those guys, again, great talents, but they aren't the Washington Bullets. So just know when you step in the ring with us, Daisho, our job's to win, your job's to lose.
Well, not to look past Daisho at all, but do you know who you're facing Friday night at Academy Theater?
No, I do not know, actually.
When does the tag team season officially begin? Because a lot of teams have been, coming together.
Thursday.
Oh, this Thursday is okay.
Well,
that's going to be three tag
team. You're going to see a lot of tag team season matches this coming Thursday. You're going to see Damnation against We Are Three, which I looked at that match on paper, and I've been in the ring with Danny and Phantom and Brian and Jeter plenty of times, and they're just going to beat the hell out of each other. It's going to be crazy. And then you've got the Avant-Garde against Hayden Young and Chip Day, which is like you got one team that's Hayden Young, Chip Day, kind of guys who are kind of stars in PCW, who are kind of just like, we just want to get this under our belt to cement ourselves within PCW history. But you also have the Avant-Garde who are, to me, they're very hungry. Like I remember seeing Vandal kind of bring himself up on his own. Like, he went and took his spot, and De La Vega, I think, sees the same thing and was like, I'm a team with you because we're going to get ours. Like, the same way that me and Trey did, a year ago. So I think it's going to be a really exciting show.
Now, do we know if Damnation will be competing under Freebird rules? Because there's three of those guys, and all three of them can go. And if
there
are
four of them. You forgot about Joey Kidman.
Joey Kidman, that's right. So there's four of those guys. Do you think that's a bit of an advantage in this tag team season that you don't necessarily know which two men may be in the ring?
Yes and no. Because you always got to figure out, what type of style you're going to have. Because you can all, four different guys, four different styles of wrestling, right? They all going to be some bruises, but, it's a different from night to night. But at the same time, it's more of a detriment to them than anything. They don't even, I live with John. I see him in the morning when I get up and when I come home in the afternoon from work. Like, me and him slapping each other's hand is like waking up and breathing air. You know what I mean? So, like, having a different partner every time, you're not going to gel. Not enough to beat us, at least. They could probably get some meat past a couple wins. And I think they'll have a good record this season. But tag team season championship, I don't know. I never really liked the whole switching out partner Freebird type thing because it just, I don't know. It's not the same. It's not the same team.
Well, hey guys, we need to switch gears a little bit. I'm expecting big, Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner to call in, and there's someone on the line I believe might be him, so let's find out. Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now. Is this Scott Steiner?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hello. How you doing?
Yeah, good.
Good.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yeah. We got one of the local tag teams called the Washington Bullets is on the line, and they were honored and flattered to find out they were on the same show as Scott Steiner, who's obviously one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time. But we have plenty to talk about with you as well. I saw you Saturday night. You reunited with Buff Bagwell at the UCW show, and that obviously turned out well. And then the two of you will be taking on Luke Gallows and Mike Knox next Friday at the North Atlanta Trade Center. What's it like being back in the ring with Buff Bagwell, first of all?
It was a good time. Me and Marcus, we had a good time when we ended up together. We did a lot of good stuff on TV, so it was a good time, you know.
Yeah, well, that match was you obviously haven't lost anything, as that match proved, but I'm also curious about TNA. We haven't really seen you much in TNA as of late, but I know you did the Ring Ka King stuff over in India. How did that go?
Oh, it was awesome, man. It was like, it was for like End of All TV, which is like probably the third or fourth most televised programming in the world. You know, I mean, the company's huge, and they just did everything right. I mean, you can go on YouTube and see some of the videos. I mean, the setup, the arena was awesome. They had like 7 big screens, TVs, and it was a good time. You know, it really was. They did everything right. They had like their version of Justin Bieber come in one night after the show and sang. They had one of the greatest cricket players ever to play for their country come in and do some stuff. And then they had me on like 60 billboards, just huge billboards throughout the country, you know. So they're definitely, you know, the ratings have been good. I think they've been, averaging about 14 million, 15 million viewers per week. So it's been going good.
Cool. Well, what was your role in that? Are you tagging with someone, or are you doing singles work, or a little of both?
Yeah, I did a little both. I first went up there a couple of times, wrestled on my own, jumped the fence, scared the people, you know, acted like a wild
I heard
man.
About that.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool, you know. And then actually some of the TV crew from the End of All TV thought I was nuts, you know. So that was a good thing. And then I ended up tagging with Abyss, and we won the World Tag Team title. So. So I did a little bit of everything, you know.
So are you currently the tag team champion with Abyss still, as it stands?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's just another tag team title to add to your many previous ones, I guess, huh?
Right. Yeah. No, but they're trying something new over there, and they're incorporating the Indian wrestlers. So hopefully it'll get bigger than it was. But right now, 14, 15 million viewers per week, that's huge, you know?
Yeah. Well, how would you say the that audience, which obviously is not as exposed to professional wrestling as we are here, how do their reactions compare to what you might be used to in the Impact Zone or other places that you've wrestled?
I would say it's better because it's new for them, you know, and it's like a virgin territory. It was awesome, man. It was great crowds. They were into it, you know. But you know, a lot of them knew who I was from. Because I did get American TV, so they knew exactly where I was. So it's not that I was just going out there and they didn't know what was going on. So, you know, it was a good time. It really was. I thought it was better wrestling over there, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, of course, you also have a little history with UCW, where you wrestled on Saturday. I know you've worked there over the past few years, and I believe you reunited with Rick Steiner for the first time after after your stint with WWE was your first time back in the ring was with Rick Steiner at UCW. Is that right?
I believe so. I think it was. Yeah, we wrestled through Ronnie Gossett for a while, and, you know.
Yeah.
So and like this Friday, we're going to, you know, like you said, we're going back to North Atlanta Trade Center, you know, to wrestle Mike Knox and Luke Gallows. So it'll be a good time, you know.
Right. Well, you had
business as usual, you know.
Right. What did you think of their setup on Saturday at the high school? Is that how did that compare to the shows you've done with them before and things you've done elsewhere?
It was just comparable to the shows we've done before, and you know, it was a good setup. You know, I'm sure the fans come this Friday, they'll, you know, see the same thing. You know.
Cool. Well, like I said, the Washington Bullets are an up-and-coming local tag team. I've kept them on the line in case they might have some questions for you as tag team wrestlers since you're so accomplished in that area. So I'm going to let them ask whatever they might have to ask.
Yeah, I really only want to ask, like, one question. In, like, 1991, I know I'm going back a little bit, there was a match that you guys had against Hiroshi Tase and Kintsugi Suzuki in Japan where you won the IWGP tag titles, and it was known as one of the best matches in the history of wrestling. I wanted to know, like, your mentality going in, if you expected to have such a great match, or if you felt the pressure of the other matches being so good that you wanted to put on a great match, or if you didn't care and you just ended up having a great match just by the atmosphere.
As far as having, I've always tried to go out there and have the best match possible, you know, so no matter where I was at. And the reason why it was a good match, it was too, Hase was an amateur wrestler, too. And I think, I'm not sure about Sasaki, but they're both all good athletes. And, of course, you know, you had 75,000 people there, so, you know, there's, you always want to put on a good show when there's that many people.
Yeah.
And we just went out there. You know, Japanese style, you know, was pretty stiff, and we just went out there and had the best match possible. And actually, that was, one of the first times that I did the Frankenstein over there for a finish show. The people were, amazed about that, too, you know, so they just wanted to see that, you know. We've always tried to go have a good match no matter where we're at. But that being the first time we were in Japan, in the Tokyo Dome, 75,000 people, and plus we had, you know, Hase and Sasaki could keep up with us, so that's what made it a good match, you know.
Wow, thank you. Yeah. Trey, do you have a question?
I guess not.
Okay.
Well, speaking of the Frankensteiner, one thing I wanted to ask is, earlier in your career, when you and your brother were still tag-teaming regularly, it was almost like you were the more technical and did more high-flying kind of stuff, and your brother was more of the power wrestler guy. And then as you progress into doing singles matches, you kind of developed a different persona and bulked up a little bit and went more for the power game. Why did you decide to go in that direction in your career?
Well, the reason my brother and I split up was that time. We wrestled everybody that was to wrestle. There was
right.
Really no else that really presented a challenge or would even be, you know, meaning for us to wrestle, you know. So that was one of the reasons why we split up. And then the reason I changed my style of wrestling because I was no longer a good guy or a bad guy. So I couldn't go out there. I could, you know, even though you're still trying to do, you know, great moves, you got to change up your style. So, you know, because the one thing I've always tried to do is piss the people off, you know, which I have, you know, a knack of doing. So it's like, you always can't be it's hard to be have the people cheer for you when you want them to piss off. So that's the reason I changed my style of wrestling, you know.
Right.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Steiner?
Yeah.
Sorry, man, I do have a question. I was cooking. I didn't hear him ask me. So when you went from, like, you know, to where my brother asked you, we were in Japan, you guys were doing the strong style, a little bit more stiff. From when you guys went to, like, WWE, what was the major difference between the two styles?
Well, Japan style is always more stiff style, you know, more, I would say, high pace. And as far as, I don't know, WWF was a little different back then. But it was just, it's just different because Japan is, you know, more, like I said, stiff, up and down faster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, and WWE was basically the same way we wrestled in WCW. You know? So it just,
yeah,
it was just different, you know?
I got you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, hey, my co-host Matt has been silent throughout this interview. So, Matt, do you have any questions for Scott Steiner?
Yeah, Scott, you accomplished the highest level in every place you were. And like you just said, you and your brother wrestled everybody that there was to wrestle and beat everybody there was to beat. Was there any team that you didn't get to cross paths with that you kind of wish you might have got a chance at?
No, not really, because we were everywhere. We won everywhere. And, you know, we pretty much, you know, done in every big show there was to be. You know, we went to Hey Young, North Korea, we were 175,000 people, 3 nights in a row. Now, that was a situation itself because, you know, the place was still communist, still is communist, you know. So when we land, we're on the airplane with Muhammad Ali, you know. It's like they take our passports and it was such a restricted country, you know. You're being followed all the time. You're being watched by cameras all the time. It was just different. So, and then we went to where Young Lee, his dad, was buried up in the mountains. Big old rows of stairs go up to his birthplace, death, you know, where he's at, you know. And it's like Muhammad Ali just started running the stairs. It was unbelievable. he had the onset of Parkinson. He was shaking at the time, but once he started running the stairs, it was like you couldn't tell, you know. It was, and that was the experience being there with him, you know. So, but, you know, I consider him one of the great Americans of all time, you know, what he stood up for and all that, and I think that's why he's so revered this day, you know. He was actually a really nice guy, you know. So, like, we've been everywhere. We've done a lot of things. Been a lot of big shows, all the big shows there is to be in, so really nothing else I could change because we pretty much did it, you know.
Not much left up to do after you pulled that one off, I guess.
Right.
You were a mainstay as a singles competitor with the NWO and the Main Event Mafia, and I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about what's it like to be in two groups like that with so many of the time's greatest wrestlers and greatest personalities. How was that, you know, to kind of manage all that?
It was great. I'd have to say the Main Event Mafia was actually better because we had the greatest assemblies of world champions at one time. You know, it was me, Booker T, you know, Kurt Angle, Kevin Nash, and Sting. We were all world champions at one point in time, so which made and as far as collecting belts, that made it better than NWO. But the NWO in itself, man, that was hot, man. That's what wrestling was hot. It was unbelievable wrestling at that time because at that time we're going to you know, outdoor or indoor stadiums. Like we went to St. Louis, we're in Atlanta, Georgia Dome, you know, and we were, you know, getting 40,000-50,000 people. You know, so it was unbelievable. So. In that aspect, you know, that would never come back. Wrestling that was probably at the highest point, and I don't see it ever coming back to that point, you know. But as far as the Main Event Mafia, I mean, that was just great being a part of, you know, a group like that with all the world champions, you know. So, and for some reason, man, they just stopped doing it for no reason. They stopped, you know, kind of. Pissed Kurt off, pissed Booker T, pissed Kevin off, you know, it's like, why would this happen? We were drawing good ratings, the highest ratings of the show for a suspended period of time, and they just stopped it. It was amazing they did that, but who knows, you know? But like I said, there was... What's that?
I always wondered, you know, if there was a specific reason why it stopped, because it was going so well. And like you said, that was TNA's probably hottest point when they had all you guys together. You know, you had great backstage vignettes. You had great work in the ring. I always wondered why it kind of came to a halt. You know, you were kind of the last man standing of that faction. You know, that the storyline was, you know, you didn't want it to end, and they just kind of ended on you. I wondered how that all played out.
Yeah, it was, trust me, it pissed all of us off, because it's like, man, that's the name of the game, drawing ratings, you know, and that we're, and to this day, they haven't duplicated that ratings for that suspended period of time, and it's like, what are we in this for? I mean, seriously, it's ratings, you know, and they just stopped, and it was just crazy, and to this day, we still don't know why, you know.
Well, didn't it stop when Bischoff and Hogan came in, and then they sort of tried to recreate a similar thing with Immortal?
No, they had stopped that before they even came in, you know.
Oh, okay.
You know, that was, no, we were done. They stopped that in, like, I think, November, you know. They had
been right.
In there was, they were in the sniffing TNA at that time, you know. So.
One thing that always stuck out to me during the NWO run was the shows in Sturgis and what a different environment that seemed to be, you know, from just an outsider looking in to those shows. Was it as different in those environments as it seemed to be?
Oh, yeah, it was totally different, because it was outside. The ring was surrounded by motorcycle guys, you know, with on their bikes, you know. So it was kind of a tough place to wrestle, because it was outdoors and you lost a lot of the atmosphere and the, you know, just people cheering, kind of like drowned it out, because we're out in the mountains, and it was just stayed away so quick. Where when you're in the indoor arena, it sounds a lot better, you know. But I always loved going out there, because we always like flew up to Minneapolis and drove the bikes across like 4 or 5 days. And that was a good time up there. It was me and my brother staying. Everybody that had a motorcycle at the time, we drove, you know, Bischoff. We drove across the plains of the United States to Sturgis and had parties out there. And then we wrestled and then, you know, partied some more. It was a good time, man. It really was.
Do you still follow Wolverine Athletic?
Oh, yeah. My buddies are still coaches at the University of Michigan, Joe McFarlane. He's the head wrestling coach up there now. And unfortunately, I don't know. I know the trainer, who was a football trainer, who was our wrestling trainer at the time. So, I talked to him. And unfortunately, I wish they would have hired Les Miles, because Les Miles was a grad assistant when I was there. You know, so I knew Les. And but they, unfortunately, they didn't. Otherwise, I would, you know, had that connection. But yeah, I followed for a long time. I was still real close. I mean, University of Michigan was a great time in my life, you know. So I
was certainly hoping they were going to hire Les Miles as well. I'm a big Alabama fan, and I just assumed not to have to see Les every year.
Yeah, he's a great coach. Yeah. So, but they're Brady Hoke seems to be turning it around, but we'll find out. But it's hard. It would be hard for me to pass up on Les Miles, you know. So
I guess they open up with Tide next year in Dallas, so maybe I'll see you there.
Right. Yeah. No, like I was good friends with the strength coach, Mike Gittleson, for the longest time. And when they hired the guy from West Virginia, he cleaned house, and fortunately Mike wasn't there no more, so... I still have a lot of good friends that are still in the program or still live in Michigan, you know. So,
well, the strength training has come a long way in athletics in general. Have you ever given any consideration maybe going that route, maybe going to some coaching or strength training like that?
I haven't. It might be something to think about later on, but I really haven't. I'm pretty much better kept up with the curve or stay with the curve as far as strength training, and I've changed, I've adapted, you know, and that's why I'm remained in the great shape that I'm in, you know. So, I don't know, it's something to think about. Maybe I will, you know.
Don't you have a DVD, like a training DVD out?
Oh yeah, that was a fun thing I did. I actually did that with what's his name, brother? What was that Body by Jake? Yeah, I did it with his brother, and it was kind of they kind of edited it not the way I wanted it, but it's okay. I mean, it served its purpose, you know.
Right. Well, Scott, before we let you go, I just wanted to ask what's your current role in TNA? I think it's been since November since you've been in the TNA ring, not counting the stuff in India. Are you still with the company? I noticed you're still on their roster page and everything.
Yeah, it's hard to say, man. It's like I went over there. I mean, I can go over to a country halfway around the world, you know, draw 14, 15 million viewers a week. I come back here and I don't know what I'm doing here, you know. I have no idea.
Right.
So I'm amazed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it sounds like a typical TNA story. but as far as UCW goes, they are doing monthly, the shows at North Atlanta Trade Center and Inspiring Kids Academy are monthly, and then they're doing several high school shows like the one you did last Saturday. Are you going to be a regular part of that over the next few months as well?
Yeah, I think it's great when we go to high schools because usually a lot of that's like to help the school with the, you know, with the program, wherever they need the money, you know. So I enjoy going to high schools because, like last week, we wrestled with a football coach.
Right.
Involved. So, yeah, I know I enjoy doing that, you know.
But as far as their monthly shows at North Atlanta Trade Center and stuff, do you plan on doing those regularly, or is this kind of a one-off thing you're doing this weekend?
Yeah. We'll find out, but I plan on it, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
So.
All right, well, unless anyone else has any further questions for you, I want to thank you for calling in. Does anyone else have any questions for Scott Steiner?
I'm good. He handled all my business.
All right, man.
All right. Well, what's your...
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. I'll see you at one of the UCW shows in the future.
All right, cool. Take care, man.
All right, thanks
you
a
guys
lot.
Take care. Bye. All right, bye.
All right, well, we still have the Washington Bullets on the line.
Hello.
I think we kind of cut you guys short when he called in, but I don't remember where we left off.
We're talking about the next weekend show at Rampage and stuff like that. We're not sure
right.
the location, but we'll be there February 26th. And also, you got PCW at the Masquerade on Thursday. That's going to be a great show. And then you got PCW at Avondale Estates on Friday, which we'll also be a part of.
Right.
And I believe
every Friday.
I believe y'all have a tag team title match, I guess, next Peach State.
March 10th.
March 10th.
During,
we signed
during all the
commotion,
I think that got booked.
Yeah. No, it got booked. It was the Exotic Ones against the Washington Bullets. If the Exotic Ones can't beat us, they will never get a title shot against us again. March the 10th, Peach State Wrestling.
All right. Well, thank you to the Washington Bullets for calling in.
Thank you so much. Really quick, just people who are listening who want to check in on us and see what we're doing, you can go to youtube.com/WashingtonBullets123 or facebook.com/WashingtonBullets1 or twitter.com@bullets_bullets. And that's how you can keep up with us.
And do you guys have a website or anything?
Basically,
aside
if you keep up
that?
With us through Facebook, YouTube, and all that other stuff, then it's basically the same thing. We're working on a website right,
right.
now.
Okay. All right. Well, we will see you
so
Thursday and every Friday and at Peach State. And where else do you guys wrestle aside from Rampage? Are those are the regular ones?
Yeah, we do PCW, we do Peach State, we do Rampage. We also do North Georgia Championship Wrestling. Or North Georgia Wrestling Alliance, we also do
right.
Different promotions amongst the Georgia and the Southeast, and we're looking to invade more and more promotions as the months.
The SCW will be there very soon.
Trey is trying to speak, I believe.
No, I'm trying to eat and kind of tell you something.
Yeah, we're in different rooms.
Okay. Well, hey, we've got a caller. I don't know if this is someone that wants to talk to the Washington Bullets, but before we let you go, we'll find out. Thanks for calling Georgia Wrestling Now. Who do we have on the line?
Yes, sir. This is Harold J. Taylor. How are y'all doing tonight?
Doing okay. We're about to wrap up the show, Harold J. Taylor.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I only caught like the last half of it because I was out shopping, and you know how that goes. But I did not hear if the Washington Bullets explained their blatant hate crime against Tommy Too Much of the Exotic Ones.
They I went into that a little bit earlier.
That was a hate crime. You're going to beat him up and beat him up and beat him up. They keep trying to come by title. What the hell's going to happen?
You know, that was something straight out of the headlines in the news. I mean, you know, you hear about these hate crimes all the time, and then one unfolds right in front of your eyes, and there's nothing you can do. You know,
did you get some pictures, Jay?
I have photographic evidence.
All right, well.
I have posted the photographic evidence in my Battle Bowl pictures. The link is on the Peach State website, or Peach State
on Facebook.
Facebook, to send you straight to the Crappy Picks trademark photos. And you can see the evidence of the Washington Bullets committing a hate crime against a poor, you know, I mean, it's one thing to knock a man down. But they had him down, and they kept stomping away at him. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Simon was nowhere to be found to help out his partner. You
too
know,
bad.
And he called that a mud hole, something like that.
You know, there was an incident here in like downtown Atlanta just a few weeks ago that.
I think we need to have the authorities look into this sort of thing because that was a pretty horrific scene there.
I was going to say, I'm on the beach state that night.
That wasn't only hate crime at Beach State. They got a lot of investigating to do.
Right.
The show that I went to a month ago, there was a fight in the men's room during the Bullets and Exotic Ones match, like a legitimate fight. So
yes.
That's definitely a different environment out there.
You know, it may just be something about the Bullets that set people on fire.
And I wonder what that could be.
I heard they stepped on somebody's daddy's oxygen. That's what I heard. But, you know, I'm just a fan. I hear things. That's what I
heard about the oxygen. I did not see that. But, you know, after what I saw them do to Tommy, it would not surprise me one bit if they were, you know, looking for cripples out there to further cripple, kind of like what Three did, 2 months ago? Yeah.
Yes.
I heard it was a Jordan Dub Zero print on the oxygen cord. So I don't know but one man who might have been doing that, but I keep my mouth shut because I don't snitch.
Well, hey, we are running out of time, but Jay, since you're on the line, I had to leave the XWF show yesterday a little early because I was meeting some friends to watch the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, but what was the outcome of the rematch between Frankie Valentine and UHA Nation?
Ah, well, UHA Nation pulled it through one more time and beat Frankie. It was a little bit longer match, a little bit, a little more evenly matched because Frankie wasn't worn out from driving all the way back from Warner Robins.
Right.
But UHA Nation was victorious again and will be in the championship tournament. There's a little developing news on XWF, though. I'm not sure all the background story, but apparently Frank Aldridge, the owner of
WWA 4,
has posted that there will not be a show on March 4th as had been advertised. I'm not sure the story behind it, but he just posted that in the XWF group.
Well, we will have to get to the bottom of that on a future episode of Georgia Wrestling Now. But I want to thank everyone for calling in, and I would like to announce that next week, next week's guest will be a new face in Empire / PCW by the name of Quasi Mandisco, who is the agent of North Georgia Wrestling Alliance champion Marco Polo. So I believe Marco will be calling in with him, as if Marco Polo needed a mouthpiece of any kind.
But, am I required to be here for that, or can I gracefully bow out of that show?
You know, you're welcome to bow out if you'd like. But Quasi is I knew him as a DJ that spins funk and R&B at the Claremont Lounge every Saturday, so it was a bit of a surprise to find out he was previously Marco Polo's modeling agent. So we'll...
Marco Squirrel Coat and Quasimodo. Is that what you're telling me?
That if that's what you heard, then that's what you heard.
All right.
But feel free to call in if you have questions for them next week, Jay, as I'm sure you do. And perhaps we will get. You'll try
not
to what?
To go shopping then.
Maybe you can go shopping with Marco Polo.
Oh, no, no, thank you.
Anyway, thanks again to the Washington Bullets and to Scott Steiner. And before we go, real quick, the other Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network shows are Ringside Wrap on Wednesdays at 8, Peach State Pandemonium on Thursdays at 8, Midnight Black Mass on Fridays, I believe at 8, and Ohio Valley Wrestling Overview once a month on Sunday at 2. Until next week, this has been Georgia Wrestling Now. Thanks again, everyone.
All right.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.